So I'd like to go ahead and call the regularly scheduled urban renewal meeting for 3 March 2021 to order. Let's go ahead and start with a roll call. Nate, you want to go ahead and do a roll call there?
Commissioner Cooper?
Present.
Commissioner DeRozio?
Present.
Commissioner Inouye?
Present.
Chair McPherson? Commissioner Tibbetts?
Here.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Nate. With the roll call being taken, the first action item on our agenda is actually the approval of the agenda. So I think we can do a verbal approval of the agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda as written passes. Yes.
We actually need a motion and a second for that.
That's right. We do. Yes. Yeah. Does anyone have a motion to approve the agenda?
Commissioner Cooper will make the motion to approve the agenda.
Second. Do we have a second?
Commissioner DeRozio seconds.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion or the agenda passes as written. We'll move to item number three, the consent agenda, which contains the minutes from our February 3rd meeting. Need a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor?
Aye. We need a motion first.
Oh, sorry. I am sorry, guys. I am out of practice. So. Could I get a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
Commissioner Cooper will make the motion.
Commissioner DeRozio second.
It's been motioned and seconded to adopt the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing no opposition, it's approved as presented. We're going to move to action item number four, public hearing. So at this time, we're going to take any public comment on CUNA URA 2020 draft annual report. Is there any comments or anyone signed in to the ledger to testify?
We have no one that's shown up in public to testify, and I received no comments, and I don't believe the clerk's office did either.
No one signed up.
Okay. I think hearing none and having none, we can go ahead and move to item B, which is consideration to approve the resolution. Number URA 01-2021. It is a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of the City of CUNA, Idaho, aka the CUNA Urban Renewal Agency, to be termed the Annual Report Resolution, approving the annual report of the Urban Renewal Agency for calendar year 2020, approving the notice of filing of the annual report to the city, directing the chair or vice chair to submit said report and providing an effective date. Is there a motion to approve the said URA
01-2021? Mr. Chair,
yes.
If I may, I'm just gonna make a couple of comments really quick. Just to remind the commission that this resolution basically adopts our annual report. And the annual report is a document that's a legal requirement for us. So after that resolution gets adopted, we'll submit that report to the city clerk's office for filing. And we'll also send out a notice in the CUNA Mobile News that posts that we have published that document. And it's also available on our website. We posted the annual report on at City Hall, as well as on the CUNA Urban Renewal website and on our CUNA Economic Development Facebook page. So we did our due diligence in getting it posted so that the community could review it if they would like to. And that report is a legal requirement that basically just says for this year that we didn't have any agency revenue because we're a brand new agency. The only expenditures we really had was in the formation of the district. And next year it will look a lot different. If we have any projects that come forward, we'll make sure we include those in there. But for now, that's a fairly basic report just saying we didn't really have any funds this year, but we formed a district, and that's where our annual report summarizes. So that's what the resolution would do, is just adopt that report for the agency.
Thank you, Lisa. Before the fill-in chairman, who's very precocious at times in this meeting, is there any other comment or basically any comments on this resolution? I think then, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, but I think now we can entertain a motion to approve this as stated and as written.
You can, as long as there's no other discussion or comments or changes that the commission would like to see on that annual report.
Okay. I'll ask one last time. Is there any comment? So hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve the said resolution URA 012021. Is there a motion to approve?
Commissioner Cooper would make a motion to approve URA 01-2021.
Mr. Drazio seconds.
It's been motioned and seconded. I'll go ahead and do a roll call on this, but I would like to ask all those in favor.
Aye.
Opposed? I'll go ahead and do the roll call for the record. Commissioner Cooper?
Aye.
Commissioner DeRozio?
Aye.
Commissioner Tibbetts?
Aye.
And as sitting chairman, I don't know if I would vote on that, but if I was voting, it would be aye. So went through the roll call, let the record show the said roll call voting. With that being completed, let's move to item number 5. This is updates from the staff. I know that Megan has some updates later on. I think Lisa has some updates before we probably even go into that. So with that, Lisa, I'll just turn that over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, I told you in our last meeting that we were going to likely review an eligibility study for East CUNA in this meeting. We did complete an eligibility study, and JB has given that to us for review. And after spending some time reviewing it, we decided to spend a little bit longer to do some legal review with Megan and her team, and make sure that we have that as complete as possible before we bring it to you. The eligibility study does include some county parcels again, and so we're waiting to get some indication from landowners on whether or not they want to annex into the city to be a part of that future boundary, because that may adjust the way that we present the study to you all. So we wanted to make sure we had some of those answers before we brought it forward. So it'll likely be in April or May latest before we bring that eligibility study to you for consideration. So just wanted to make that known. The only other item we wanted to talk about is the legislature has certainly kept all of us busy this year, and they're trying to make some legislation changes that would certainly impact our urban renewal agency. So I asked Megan if she would give a quick update on a couple of the bills that are in process right now. There's two of them on the docket tomorrow, one being heard by the House Revenue and Taxation Committee and another one being heard on the Senate side as well. And both of them would be fairly impactful to our agency. So my personal request to you is if you have time to send a quick note of opposition or your opinion there to these entities, we would certainly appreciate any help you could give us. Megan, do you want to kind of give an overview of the two bills being considered right now?
Yes, thank you, Chair, Commissioners. Can you hear me okay with the headphone microphone? Okay, cool. Thank you. Lisa did a good job summarizing where we're at in terms of action items for tomorrow. House Bill 287 was introduced and printed on Tuesday. And then we found out about midday today that it was going to be up for hearing before House Rev and Tax tomorrow at 9 a.m. This is a very significant bill and impacts all urban renewal agencies, particularly those that will be planning or are contemplating new project areas in 2021. What it does is it slippery slopes, as I like to say, off of a change that was made in 2020, which permitted highway districts, and not all highway districts, but it certainly impacts highway districts, Ada County Highway District, to retain its portion of the increment subject to an agreement that would be reached between the agency and the highway district, ACHD. So as you know, from having gone through the process of establishing your project area last year, this body did go through that hoop of entering into an agreement with ACHD so that the agency would be able to retain those increment dollars, and they are committed to being used for transportation projects within the revenue allocation area. And at the time that change was made, the justification really was, well, highway dollars really should just be spent on making improvements to the highway system or the transportation system. So this year, what we have before us is a bill that extends that concept to all of the taxing districts, cities, counties, mosquito abatement districts, all of the school districts under current law are pretty much held harmless. So not to worry about those particular levies, but it would require that for any agency seeking to create a project area in 2021, that agency would have to get an agreement with each of those overlapping taxing districts in order to retain that portion of the increment. I think what's really challenging about this bill is there are no sideboards. So the agency is really in a terrible negotiating position. And from a timing perspective, it has a September, you have to get the agreement done and to the state tax commission and the county on or before September 1st of the year in which it would go into effect. Well, as you know, having gone through the process, oftentimes the city council doesn't consider the ordinance adopting a plan until well after September 1st. So it does present somewhat of a chicken and the egg concept. So do we need to engage all of these overlapping taxing districts and enter into an agreement, almost prejudging what the city council is going to do at that, you know, following that public hearing? Or is this something that, you know, we work towards after the city council has adopted the ordinance approving the plan? So the implementation of this is also going to be extremely challenging. It's administratively burdensome in the fact that, you know, we can take CUNA, for example. It has an existing project area where the revenue stream is pretty well determined and known. If you were to adopt a new project area and this bill were in place, you don't necessarily know what those revenues are going to be from year to year. Are each of those agreements going to be year-to-year agreements? Are they only going to be five-year agreements? Are they going to run for the life of the project area? So I think for purposes of planning and trying to create stability in our statutes and how we implement economic development opportunities as we move forward, it's really going to be challenging to say we have this much money to do this much work, because I think it could be an ever-changing bogey or target. So it does have the effect of chilling urban renewal and in the establishment of revenue allocation areas. So with that, it will be up before the House Rev and Tax Committee tomorrow. There just has not been a significant amount of time to get the word out. I've spent most of the day communicating with urban renewal agencies, chamber representatives, private developers. I do think the best argument does come from the private sector and the developers, for them to be able to say, if this bill is in place, my project may not go forward because there's just there's not the stability in the revenue stream for me to feel comfortable moving forward. I don't know if the money is going to be there. Lisa, I know there are a number of other points that we can raise that get real technical with this bill. I think the last one I would raise is you all have probably been tracking the path of Senate 1108, which is the bill that seeks to limit taxing district budgets. Well, what this bill actually does is it gives the overlapping taxing districts their share of the increment dollars, which they wouldn't be entitled to, but for the fact that there's a project area in place. And so to the extent there is not an agreement reached with the taxing district, that taxing district would be able to have dollars that are not budgeted. It's over and beyond its budget amount for the life or for however long there's no agreement in place. So it can represent a windfall to the overlapping taxing districts as well. So with that, happy to answer any questions on that one. I do think, you know, we are starting to see some communications go forward to the committee. And I do think that people are very concerned, particularly as this could be a long session.
Megan, this is Commissioner Inouye. Just a couple of questions relating to HB 287. Mm-hmm. In terms of the, you know, the standard coalition building, et cetera, Alex and his bunch over at IACI, I was wondering where they stand, and of course, Idaho Association of Counties, Cities, and then last, but certainly not least, the Idaho AGC, Pat and those guys over there. Do we have any alliances there, or are they neutral on this, or do you have any feel for that yet?
So thank you, Commissioner. That's a great question. So the Redevelopment Association of Idaho is an organization of urban renewal agencies. They are activated in opposition of this bill, and they do work closely with the Association of Idaho Cities. So they are also being activated. I have not had any contact with IAC, AGC, or IACI. So to the extent you do have contacts with any of those organizations, please reach out to them.
Right. I will do that. Thank you for the answer. Thank you.
Megan, who are the bill sponsors?
It's Representative Addis from North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene area.
Typically, legislation like this is modeled after some state around us. Did they draw this from a neighboring state? And if so, what's been the impact there?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. That's an interesting question. Because there hasn't been a hearing, I'm not exactly sure where it stems from. I guess if I were to posit a guess, there is similar type language, I suppose, coming out of the Utah model. But the Utah model works because there are some other fantastic provisions in their statutes that also are not being brought along with this particular provision. It seems like the sort of the reining in positions are cherry picked as opposed to any sort of reform or modernization that's kind of left on the table.
Thank you.
Any other comment or questions from the board?
If it's helpful, I'm happy to send out kind of a summary of those two bills that we're talking about, and then some talking points if you have an interest in reaching out on those committees for tomorrow. The other one that... Yeah,
that would be great.
Yep.
The other one that, Megan, we didn't go into too much is related to, it's on the Senate side, but it's for the Highway District bill that now they want to pass on the responsibility to the Urban Renewal Agency to do the engineering, construction, design for any roadway projects that would happen within our district, which is a little bit counterintuitive to the agreement we just created with ACHD last year. So I'm planning to testify in opposition of that bill tomorrow because it just makes more chaos and challenges to the existing agreement we have with ACHD. And I'll send over some additional information about that one too.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off what Lisa said, and first I need to correct a site. I think I told you it was Senate 287 or House 287. It's House 278. So apologies on that. The bill that Lisa is referencing is Senate 1107. And it has been proposed as if it is just a technical or an administrative change or a change to correct an ambiguity that was created by the provision last year. Once you do a deep dive into the text, and again, this relates directly to that provision that we talked about resulting from that 2020 amendment where the Ada County Highway District in this case is able to retain their increment subject to an agreement for a separate, a different allocation. So what's been done is in the Countywide Highway District statute, it's Title 40, Chapter 15, there's a section in there that addresses the responsibility for the construction and maintenance of roadways within a countywide highway district. And subsection one of that provision clearly states that the responsibility for those types of improvements rests with the highway district. And then subsection, I think three of that provision addresses, well, what happens if there's an urban renewal project area established? And to date, the law has always been still the responsibility rests with the highway district. And what this bill does is that it includes a not in a very important area of that subsection, which defaults the responsibility for maintenance and construction of roadways within the project area to the city if there is a project area that has been adopted, unless an agreement is entered into, and it references the other statute that talks about the allocation of revenues. And not only that, but this proposed change contemplates an agreement between the agency, the highway district, and the city. And the city was not a party to the agreement that's contemplated under the allocation sharing statute. So it is it's a pretty significant change. The irony of it is that if the agency does not reach an agreement with the highway district, that means that the burden and responsibility still shifts to the city for the maintenance of those roadways, which clearly in Ada County, you know, cities don't have budgets or any jurisdiction really in the right of way. And for the most part, this type of a change or tweak is unnecessary because it really is handled in any agreement that you would have to enter into in terms of the allocation. But also, if you plan to do any work in the right of way as the agency, you're going to have to get a license agreement or a cost sharing agreement at that time the project is contemplated. So it's also a pretty significant shift in policy. It impacts, you know, not as many agencies. And so we need to make sure that those in Ada County are activated to oppose. And so Lisa is actively opposing that. So any questions on that one? Okay. I'll just quickly mention three more that we're monitoring. Today, there was testimony about the uniformity and transparency in budgeting bill. That's a 20 plus page bill that really is attempting to increase transparency in the local government body budgets and to try and create some consistency with how budgets are reported and where they're reported to. I think there's some fairly onerous penalty provisions contained therein. We're watching that one. My understanding is it's got legs. It's probably going to go through the process. And as we continue to monitor, we will need to report back out on that one. Senate Bill 1044 was a change to the eminent domain statute, which I think we may have discussed before. It basically requires that if an agency was ever going to exercise eminent domain authority, because this particular board is not an elected board, it would have to be a recommending body to the city council to take that particular action. There is a specific provision in there that states that upon dissolution of the agency, not the project area, but the agency, the property shall be allocated back to the city. And that we understand from communications with bond council and others, that particular language provides some cover to allow agencies access to continue to access tax exempt financing, which is always the concern with when we're tweaking eminent domain statutes or eminent domain authority in an urban renewal statute. That one may have been almost all the way through the process. So we'll just let you know where that ultimately ends up. RAI took a neutral position on that one and did not specifically oppose. I think that was AIC's position as well, or they may have actually supported. And then finally, 1108 is the bill I spoke about earlier that's sponsored by Senator Rice, and it's seeking to put some limitations on taxing the property tax portion of the taxing district's budget. Under current law, a taxing district can increase its budget by 3% and can increase it beyond 3% through annexation value, new construction value, and some foregone value. What it's really seeking to do is limit a taxing district's ability to increase its budget capacity beyond 3% by only allowing access to 75% of the value of annexation and new construction. I think the concerning part is that there's also a provision in there that for terminating revenue allocation areas, that those overlapping taxing districts can only access 50% of that value that's coming back on to increase their budgets. So, you know, for project areas that are going out within the next 4 years or so, those have been in place for 26 to 30 years. You know, this is sort of a one-time roll-off onto the new construction roll. So it can be a big hit in terms of a taxing district not being able to increase its budget as they had probably been planning on for quite some time. So that one had been passed out of the Senate committee and got kind of hung up on the Senate floor. It was amended to address a specific situation with fire districts in Nampa, where the fire district had annexed the city's fire. And this bill would have essentially gutted their revenue stream. So this amendment fixed that issue. It still has kind of been hung up on the third reading calendar. I understand that there is a trailer bill or a bill that will fix some technical provision that's going to be brought forth soon. And then I expect that to continue to move through the process. So while that one doesn't necessarily directly impact urban renewal, it certainly impacts our city partners. And so we have been activated on that one as well. But I think those are the only ones that I wanted to cover, Lisa.
Thanks, Megan. Yeah, there's certainly been a lot going on in the legislature.
Did you have any of the staff or commissioners, any additional thoughts on this or anything else? Lisa, you'll send us out a little, kind of a little white paper on these bills and the sponsor and that type of thing.
After we're done with this meeting, I'll forward you the information Megan sent over to the committee she mentioned, and give you kind of the talking points, at least for the two that are being held for tomorrow. And then I'll follow up tomorrow with some additional information about the other bills that Megan mentioned as well.
Great. We really appreciate all your work. Just one last time, anyone have any additional comments? And if not, then we'll hear a motion to adjourn. I don't hear any comments.
So moved.
Okay. It's been motioned that we adjourn. It requires no vote. So we will adjourn this meeting. March 3rd meeting of the Urban Renewal Agency, CUNA.
Thank you, Megan, for your updates.